And we're back on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe with cat advocates Bobby Heller and Marjorie Kaplan, dog advocate Diane Karp. I'm Mary Charlotte. The Santa Fe Radio Cafe is going on into the second hour. We may even have a visit by Robert Knott, we hope. We're hoping that he comes a little bit later. But I'd like to welcome now Wayne Lee. He is a poet here in Santa Fe, and he is a professor. He's an adjunct teacher at IAIA, Institute of American Indian Arts. Welcome.
Thank you.
And we had the great pleasure of receiving an email from Wayne last week saying that he writes poems about cats and dogs.
Well, we've had a lot of cats and dogs, and as a poet, I write about what I know, so I started collecting my poems that I had written about cats and dogs, and ended up with a collection called Doggerel and Catterwalls.
Very nice.
Poems inspired by cats and dogs.
Excellent. So. Well, would you like to regale us with perhaps a dog poem and then a cat poem, or whatever order you would like?
Well, I think I'll start with a cat poem.
Ladies first.
Ladies
Excellent
first.
Choice.
This is called Buddha's Cat. Little known fact, the Buddha had a cat. Her name was Prana, Hindi for a breath of life. She came from the forest, asthmatic and pregnant with instruction. She curled at his feet like a comma, changed colors like the seasons, translated the language of mindfulness. The Four Noble Truths were hennaed on her paws. There is suffering. The cause of suffering is self-centeredness, and so on. To test his concentration, she kneaded her claws on his thighs. To test his detachment, she nuzzled her head against his desire. When she was hungry, she captured mice and birds. She gave birth to the eightfold kittens. Right intention, right livelihood, and so on. When the kittens left, the Buddha discovered love. When Prana died, he learned compassion. When he died, the Buddha decided to come back as a bird or a mouse.
Wayne Lee, that's a wonderful poem.
Thank you.
428-1393 is the number. You can make your pledge to the KSFR fund drive at 428-1393.
That's worth $1,000 at least.
Easily.
For cats.
Or more.
Yeah.
For either.
If you
Birds
want,
and mice.
That's right. Well, we actually got a pledge from somebody who doesn't have any pets, but they do have dust mites.
Mm.
And dust mites. And we have online thanks for Jim and Verena. And poems about cats and dogs. Now, let's hear, Wayne Lee, shall we hear a dog poem?
Okay.
428-1393 okay. And, is the number. And let's hear from Doggerel Verses.
Well, I've been enjoying your conversation this morning, and I've heard you talk about dogs who think they are cats and cats who think they are dogs. And, in fact, we have a cat who is quite certain she's a dog. We'll help our dog chew bones and things. But this is called I Know a Dog Who Thinks He Is a Man.
Mm.
This is actually a villanelle, which is a very old French form. I know a dog who thinks he is a man. He gets up every morning at 5 and drives a late model Volvo sedan. After his usual breakfast of bran muffins, orange juice, and coffee, he contrives, as only a dog who thinks he's a man can contrive, where to pull his caravan that day. Should he visit Spain, the Maldives, or L.A. in his late model sedan? He opens his atlas and makes a plan, then shifts his Volvo into overdrive. Proof he's a dog who thinks he is a man. To date, he's been to France and Pakistan, Borneo, Lapland, and Tibet. He strives to span the world in his Volvo sedan. Did I mention his name was Caliban? Did I describe the dangers he's survived? He's not just a dog who thinks he's a man. He's a dog with a late model sedan.
Poet That's Wayne right. Lee. That's fantastic. 428-1393, make your pledge, cats or dogs. Now, I think what we have demonstrated here is that cats are instinctual. They eat mice and things like that, whereas dogs are really striving toward the civilized. They drive around in cars and make plans and look at maps. And so I think in that way, they are so much more like human beings.
And you think that's a good thing?
I think they're models for human beings. I think if we spent more time paying attention to the deep, significant intellect of our dogs and the kindness and the generosity of our dogs, we would definitely be better people.
Kindness and generosity, I will give you. There is no question, but deep intellect? Are you guys really that sleep deprived?
Yeah, because, you know, you got to look, when you see a dog and it's staring off into space, I mean, it's, you know, it's definitely got the blank look of staring off into space.
It's thinking.
It's thinking.
No, the cats
are the ones. Looking for food.
Yes, well, that's wondering where it is.
It's thinking about food.
Remembering food.
And the cat actually meditates. I mean, I see our cats in the sun just, you know, they assume this wonderful pose. It's very elegant. And then they're not in a sleep position. They are sitting up with their eyes closed, and there's definitely a Zen-like mood that comes over them while they meditate.
That's appearance, not substance.
4281393. Now, Wayne Lee, special guest poet. Where do you come down on cats versus dogs? When you make your pledge to KSFR this morning for cats or dogs, for whom will you vote?
If I had to choose, it would be for dogs.
Did you notice the tone of serious regret when he said
well,
that?
Well, I love
no,
cats.
I've had to choose.
I've had a lot of great cats, and we have a cat named Sophie who's 15 who is just the perfect cat, except she pukes all over the carpet. But other than that, she's just a wonderful
being. I would say that is
being.
A big exception.
That's a big exception.
And I hope you are combing her regularly because she's got hairballs at this point.
No, it's not hairballs. But we have two golden retrievers, and if I were to vote for the best breed of dog, it would be Goldens. Mm-hmm. They're just wonderful dogs.
So you don't want to have to choose, and there are people who have both cats and dogs. There are people also who have alligators and crocodiles, and they might not have, you know, they might have a hard time choosing too. But you did
and they
choose...
don't have cats and dogs, I can tell you.
Yeah, no. I'm saying this because last month I went to the Colorado Gator Farm in Alamosa, Colorado, and I saw hundreds of alligators and a couple of crocodiles and many lizards and tortoises, and they even have cats in there, oddly enough, and a lot of fish. And alligators are terrifying. But that's another story. Why, Wayne Lee, do you choose dogs if you did have to choose?
Well, one reason is dogs are portable. You can take dogs on walks in the forest and take them swimming and take them to friends' houses. And cats really, you know, don't want to go anywhere. You live in the cat's house. They don't live in yours. And I did know a man who took his cat for walks on a leash all the time. But that's the exception to the rule. Mostly cats just want to stay home and not be told to do anything.
Now, my cat goes camping. Our spokes cat, the Felines and Friends spokes cat, Sabrina, who's very, very unique. She did actually have a position with our business. She was director of PR.
PR stands for
purr.
Yeah, and that was very funny because she was listed in all of the business guides, and she would get phone calls, and we would get unsolicited mail, and that's how we knew how mailing lists were being sold between companies, because all of a sudden we'd get, you know, a letter addressed to Sabrina Lusha. So anyway, she's retired, but she does go camping with us. We go up to the Caneos every year with friends, and they take their dogs, and we take Sabrina. And she's a 12-pound tabby and white, and she goes up in the car, and we do have her in a carrier, just she makes her feel more secure. And once we get up there, we have a habitat for her. And we put that on the picnic table next to us, and we're all out there, and the dogs are sitting by the fire, and the cat's in her habitat watching the squirrels and the chipmunks and the hummingbirds. And so, you know, you can train your cat, or you can acclimatize the cat to travel with you. But they do, I have to agree, they do prefer to be at their house, which is why most of us with cats pet sitters.
Right.
4281393 is the number. Call and cast your vote. The Santa Fe Radio Cafe is going into a second hour. 4281393, cast your vote. Cats versus dogs, which is better? We don't have a running total yet, so I'm not sure which is ahead or behind, but dogs were ahead for the whole hour.
And we're hoping that they stay that way. I want you all to know that both the Mayans and the Aztecs symbolized every 10th day of their calendar with the dog. And those who were born under the sign of the dog were believed to have outstanding leadership skills.
Well,
Now, we're going to go back to another poem by Wayne Lee, by Wayne Lee in just a moment. But I wanted to ask you guys, did I ever tell any of you guys that story about the talking dog?
Talking dog?
Yeah, there was a, dogs are ahead by less than 150 votes.
Come on, cat people, start voting.
Come on, dog people.
Come on, pledge people.
Let's open the gap.
Let's get a bidding war going here.
That's right, let's make it rain.
Now, anyone can win.
Felines and Friends has placed in 8 years over 2,500 cats and half a dozen dogs. And I would like to see every person who's adopted a cat from Felines and Friends pledge to KSFR because they give us the opportunity to promote the organization and our mission here in Santa Fe.
Felines and Friends is a wonderful organization, and they're doing so many things. I mean, if you have to do something for cats, you know, Felines and Friends is the organization that's going to do it. 428-1393 is the number. But I wanted to tell you guys the story about the talking dog.
Yes.
There was a friend of mine saw an ad in the paper last year, said talking dog, $10. And there was an address. And so she went up to the house, and there was this dog on the porch. And she said, "Are you the talking dog?" And the dog said, "Yep." He said, "Well, gosh, tell me about yourself." And the dog said, "Well, not very many dogs can talk, but, you know, I had this ability that was discovered early, and I was happy at home because it was so easy to communicate, but pretty soon I was discovered, and I was brought into a basically intelligence training program, and I worked for the CIA for a number of years, and I actually did some nuclear weapons work, and I was they sent me to Russia because to the Soviet Union at the time because nobody knew that there was a talking dog that a dog could talk, and so I did basically some work during the Cold War, and but it was very exhausting, and so I came home and got married and had some puppies, and I wanted to, you know, I still did a little bit of police and airport security and things like that. And I've kept some ties with the CIA and do occasional consulting. But basically, I'm a retired dog. And my friend said, "Oh, my God, that's amazing." And knocked on the door, and somebody came to the door and said, "Your talking dog is unbelievable. You only want $10 for that dog?" He says, "Yeah." "Why? This dog has done so much and has done so much service." And the owner said, "Did he tell you all that stuff about the CIA and the airport security and all that stuff?" He goes, "Well, yeah." He goes, "That dog is such a liar."
Yeah, see, but that goes to show that the dog was trying to please the humans.
No, the dog was trying to get a better space. Better food, more perks.
428-1393, the KSFR pledge drive, vote cats versus dogs, which is better? Wayne Lee, would you like to read another doggerel caterwaul pair of poems?
Well, we were talking a bit ago about cats and independence and or lack thereof. This deals with that subject. This is called Ruby Deer. "Ruby dear, I don't want to disgrace you, but the truth is I must replace you with another cat who will stay more true. I worked my can opener to the bone for you, took care of you, hair, tooth, and bone, and you just ran off and left me alone. I didn't even ask you to catch mice. In fact, the house is lousy with toy mice. Leaving me like this isn't very nice. I don't know where you are, and I don't care. After you forsake me without a care, disappear just like that into thin air. Well, I've got news for you, Miss Roamer Cat. I'm gonna get me a stay-at-homer cat. So, Ruby, what do you think about that? I'll give you exactly 24 hours before I find another meower."
Very nice.
And there it goes for keeping your cat safely indoors and spayed or neutered.
Absolutely.
Amen.
428-1393, cast your vote. I would say that is a poem that is asking listeners to cast a vote for dogs.
I would vote for that as well.
Well, this returns to the question of what do you mean by better? And as I've said before, dog people tend to like things to be pretty simple and straightforward. Cat people take a little more subtlety. You've got to be able to deal with ambiguity. You've got to be able to deal with situations that maybe aren't that clear. Perhaps Ruby was out fetching you a present. I mean, it's hard to say. Or she might have been cheating on you with somebody who had better grade of cat food. It's, you just don't know.
You don't know.
And being able to tolerate that level of uncertainty requires, I think, a certain intellectual maturity.
428-1393 is the number. Well, you know, the thing about simplicity and complexity, I think, is itself somewhat complex. There certainly are dogs who like to discuss, you know, both politics and philosophy in a complex way. Now, for example, there are dogs who will say, "I like liver, but I also like beef. I like kidneys. I like all kinds of meat. And I would really like to discuss the ins and outs of which ones are more delicious. I'm not going to make a decision. In fact, I'd like to sample them all."
I think our dogs would eat first and talk later.
Yeah, see, that is the difference between, and you basically cannot free feed a dog because of the gluttony factor, whereas most cats can be free fed and they snack as they need, just like us, you know, we eat as needed. And so I think, therefore, that sets them apart as well.
And also, Mary Charlotte, I happen to know your particular dogs inhale their food so quickly, I can't imagine they even know what it is, let alone want to discuss it. I don't think they chew.
And yet I have had dogs in the past, golden retrievers and beagle mixes and a German shepherd, for whom, like a cat, I would put out a cup or two of kibble, and they would eat it quietly and calmly as they liked during the course of the day, never scarfing, never being gluttons, never making themselves sick. And so I think what we need to express here is that many of these distinctions that we draw are not absolute. They are, in fact, relative. And many of these dogs have been my relatives.
I believe, Diane, you have the most cat-like dogs in the world. And I'm beginning to wonder if perhaps this cats versus dogs thing isn't really more about cat owners versus dog owners. Because
no.
I think somehow deep in your soul, you are a cat person. And you have transformed all of your dogs into cats.
Actually, the comments about allergies, I've been very quiet about it. Because I had cat scratch fever. As a kid, the cats are not.
I hated that record.
I know. Cats are never going to be part of my life, though I really do like them very much. But to be sure, I am a dog person.
428-1393. The phones have slowed down. It's 20 minutes after 9. We need more votes, cats versus dogs, which is better. And dogs, as last I checked, are still ahead. Give a call right now to 505-428-1393, or if you're calling from out of area, 866-907-5737.
Well, let's talk about ancient creation myths. Are there any creation myths in which cats are the actors and forces of creation?
No.
I don't know of any. And yet, the ancient Mabaya Indians of Gran Chaco in South America believed that humans originally lived underground until the dogs dug a hole and brought them up.
Well, that's an interesting point. I do think that there's something to be traced back to the ancient Egyptians with when you think about the deities and who they actually got buried with. I mean, mm-hmm. The higher echelon people did get buried with their cats.
They did.
So there's something to be said about that. And I think it had to do with the deep thinking that was attributed to the cats, just as I said before, where we have observed our cats contemplating and, you know, basically in a trance-like state and definitely in deep in thought. And I think that's probably what the ancient people also saw in them, and that's why they had a lot of respect for them.
But on the other hand, I think it might just be as simple as dogs are too smart to sit still and be mummified.
Yeah, well, and there's another factoid, historical factoid. The ancient Egyptians buried themselves with their cats, probably to keep the rats and mice out of their future life, but they revered their dogs. And when a pet would die, the owners would literally go into full mourning. They would shave their eyebrows and smear mud in their hair and mourn aloud for days. And so I think in many ways our commentaries about servants and companions breaks down when you look at ancient Egypt. They saw the cats more as servants and the dogs more as companions.
You know,
smart Egyptians.
I think we have a little revisionism going on here. I mean, the whole shaving the eyebrows and putting mud in your hair and mourning for days, that just sounds like the aftermath of a really bad frat party, and somebody made it into a mourning ritual. That's all. I mean, I think it was mourning without the U, just mourning and mourning after ritual. I also have another theory about the being buried with cats business.
Does it have to do with cigarettes being extinguished on shag rugs soaked in keg beer?
No, it really doesn't, and I don't need to know that much about your college career, Mary Charlotte. No, my theory is that they wanted the cats with them because they figured that cats were more likely to dig them out just out of self-interest. A dog would just lay there next to your feet and not do anything because he was happy to be with the master. The cat would be like, I don't like this. I'm going to dig a hole and get out, and thereby give an escape route to the deceased. I think that was more
I don't think they wanted it out. I think they had it pretty tightly wrapped to move into the next world.
I think it's the mystery factor. I think, you know, cats have much more of an air of mystery about them, which I think connects them more with the afterlife and and the otherworldly.
You know, but that, in a way, I mean, you could say that cats are more like bad boyfriends, the kind of guy that you would date. You know, he's got an air of mystery. He's a bad boy. He's somebody who you're trying to figure out and fascinates you. But the person that you marry and spend your life with is more like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Loyal, good, a great companion, a
cares
great friend.
About you.
Cares about you. So there's not as much
very,
mystery.
Very, very simple.
No, not necessarily. I mean, there can be great intelligence.
No,
but,
listen.
But that kind of...
We have two Goldens, as I said, the elder Golden. They're both actually my wife's service dogs. One is retired, and one is the new kid. And the retired dog, Morgan, had his own blog for years, and you know, is well known to be an excellent writer. And the new kid, Austin, also is learning to read as Morgan reads, learning commands from flashcards. So.
428-1393. John, the jazz man, called and came in and donated for antiprasts. And he also told me that all lines are busy. So if you get a busy signal or if you don't get an answer on 428-1393, just keep calling because they'll be done in a minute. But that's a good thing. It means people are donating for KSVR and probably for dogs. I'm just saying.
No, I definitely think the cat people. What's happened is that the cat has woken up from its mid-morning nap and have told their owners that they need to vote. So I think that's what we're going to see is a surge in the cat support.
I believe that's true. And one of the reasons I think that's true is that cats are a little more long-range in their planning, and I think they're the cat people and those who have stolen the checkbooks from their people we're waiting to see how much effort was going to be required to pull this out. So what I would like to suggest is that all you dog people, you know, you better get up there and put a special effort out, because the cats are just waiting like those eBay auctions where they wait for the last 2 minutes to see how much effort they need to put out. So if you want to have a chance of winning, you better make the lead big enough, commanding enough lead that the cats can't catch up.
So what you're saying is cats are snipers.
I'm just saying they're smarter. They're better
planners.
Well,
I think
cats are also better listeners, and I've observed that our cats do listen to KSFR with more attentiveness than our dogs do. And
our cat particularly likes the news. You know, definitely listens and tilts the head and pays attention to what is going on in the world. And just as she reads, you know, she sits on the paper on a regular basis and helps me read certain sections.
Sitting on the paper doesn't mean she's reading it.
Yeah. Oh, she's staring straight at, in fact, the critiques and the stories by our friend Robert Knott. So, you know, it's quite interesting.
Robert Knott.
Yes.
So Lisa Pence called for dogs. Thank you, Lisa. And Leslie Bischoff called casting her generous vote for Cats. She loves KSFR, jazz and blues and Sundays. Our listeners, ladies and gentlemen, it is the one-day fun drive. This is the one day where you can call and be part of it, have your name read on the radio if you want, or call yourself anonymous if you don't want. 428-1393 is the number. But during these 2 hours, 8 to 10 o'clock today, we give people the opportunity to vote Cats versus Dogs, which is better. Now, I think, Marjorie, although you were splitting hairs, as some St. John's graduates do from time to time.
Yaley.
about
she's also a Johnny.
I did
not
go to,
really, GI.
I did go to St. John's and got my master's degree there. But, you know, as some St. John's graduates still do, even after they graduate, split hairs about words like, well, what does better mean? Everybody knows what better means.
Dogs.
Cats. Now, I do have to say something about this, and I don't know who else has noticed this, but did everybody see the movie Avatar?
No.
Okay. Well, even if you saw the ads, the dog people didn't see Avatar. If you have a good look at the characters, they are cat-like not only in their motions, but also in the thinking, the self-preservation, and, of course, they actually look like cats all the way down to the ears twitching and the little broad noses and so forth. And it's hysterical when we started talking about the movie with other friends, and the cat people all said the same thing. Well, yes, they're just blue cats. And, you know, they had the traits of a cat throughout the movie. And it wasn't just the physical. It was also the intellectual and that, as I say, that self-preservation to save their planet.
428-1393. Shall we hear another poem? We just heard a cat poem, and I think we're due for a dog poem.
Okay.
Cats rule, dogs drool.
Now, that's just a bumper sticker.
I know my friends. That. I know
we're
my
not.
Friends' dogs. They drool.
My dogs don't drool, but we did have a Saint Bernard when I was a teenager.
Oh, drool factor!
That was disgusting.
I have to admit, my cats drool a bit too.
Only when they purr and they're incredibly happy. But then,
well,
my
cats
men
are very happy.
That's true.
Especially when they're very happy.
So, how many cats are left huge estates when their owners die?
Zero.
No, actually, that's not true. Bluebell Foundation in California was started by a woman who had rescued, and when she passed away, she left her house and land, and to this day, the foundation continues, and it's for older cats. And that is something that's needed for both dogs and cats.
Absolutely.
Across the country, is people don't plan in case something happens, and then the shelters and private organizations get the calls that somebody has passed away, and the next of family can't or won't take the pets, and which is how our organization, which is a Second Chance, we end up with so many cats that are 8, 10, 12 years of age, and it's because of something has happened to the owners, which is why we're doing the Seniors for Seniors program on Sunday at Ponce de Leon. We would hope that those seniors will take on one of these wonderful companion animals that doesn't need quite as much work as a small dog who still needs to be walked.
Well, not only that, cats live longer, so a 10 or 12-year-old cat still has lots of life
Absolutely.
Left.
Right. Well, I need to tell you the factoid that an estimated 1 million dogs in the United States have been named as the primary beneficiaries in their owner's will.
That's messed up.
It's not messed up. It means that these dogs have been great companions and
owned by Fruit Loops.
But it would have been nice if many of those had set up foundations so they would continue to help not just their dog, but, you know, many other pets. I mean, Leona Helmsley left it to the one single dog, which I think finally somebody came to the senses, and I think now it's been turned into a foundation and they are helping. But man, you know, just to leave it to a single animal when there's so many that it could help.
Actually, of those million dogs, somewhere in the vicinity of 700,000 have had those funds transformed into foundations to care for not just dogs, but for animals.
Wonderful.
428-1393 is the number. Keep those phones ringing until 10 o'clock when the final tally, cats versus dogs, which is better, will be read aloud. So we've got 27 and a half minutes left, and we're going to hear a dog poem by Wayne Lee.
Yeah, and fittingly, this is called Retriever. I can't throw anything away. I toss a stick, my dog retrieves it. put out the trash, he drags it back from the curb. If I want to downsize, I'll have to wait till the old boy dies. Then I'll shed my possessions like golden hair on the prayer rug of life. Every stone I throw will sink to the bottom of the sea and never wash ashore. And when I call his name, the sound will not return, but stay like a good dog waiting for his master to come home.
That's aww. Gorgeous.
Aww. Wayne Lee is a poet. Now, Wayne, you've got a poetry reading coming up.
I do, yes, thank you. I'm going to be doing a reading at IAIA. And for those listeners who have not been to IA recently, there are three new buildings that have been built, and the campus is just beautiful. There's art everywhere, and it's just a beautiful place. The reading is going to be in the second floor common room of the new Center for Lifelong Education. It's going to be Tuesday evening, May 4th at 7 p.m. And I'm going to be joined by three of my students, Jamie Figueroa, Vernon Begay, and Nate Arbuckle. And it should be fun.
Wonderful. I just went out to the Institute of American Indian Arts the other day when the Siberian poets
were there. Oh, wasn't
that
great?
Yeah. We did an interview with some of them, which for those regular listeners to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, you can always find old interviews online. I think the last 3 years or so are available. And that was terrific. There were some amazing poets and people, yeah. And it was this whole connection between Native American cultures and Native Siberian, Indigenous Siberian cultures.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
And it's the buildings out there are fantastic.
Yeah.
I remember when IAIA was on the College of Santa Fe campus, yeah. And they were on those old Civil War barracks that were filled with...
Second World War.
Yeah.
Not Civil War.
Second World War, sorry.
That was a medical hospital. That's an interesting piece of history.
I, ladies and gentlemen, have never seen a ghost, but I had some fellow students there. I went there for a couple of semesters. I had some fellow students there who swore they saw ghosts in those old barracks. But anyway, they're in a wonderful campus now.
Yeah.
Which, if you've never been there, you go to the Santa Fe Community College, and instead of going to the college, you just keep going and follow mm-hmm. the signs for Institute of American Indian Arts.
And you come to a fork in the road, and you can go either way. You can go through Rancho Viejo, or you can go through Rancho Viejo, and you get there either way. It's down at the bottom of the loop, right by the Academy for
Sounds Art. Like now, the Celestine this is, Prophecy.
Yeah. This is
if I may say so, that was a very cat-like set of directions.
Yes.
And well, I just wanted to say, also, I do have another reading coming up Sunday. There will be a whole bunch of really good poets, including my wife Alice and I, who are going to be reading from the new issue of the New Mexico Poetry Review, and that will be at Collected Works. There are two sessions Sunday afternoon from 2 to 3:30 and then from 4 to 5:30. So that should be a lot of fun, a lot of good readers.
Wayne Lee is with us today, and... dogs are still ahead, but only by $59. 59 votes, ooh. I mean.
Come on, cat people. And
428. Come on, dog people. We've got to open the gap.
428-1393 is the number. Keep those phones ringing off the hook until 10 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, we will read. At 10 o'clock, the voting is over. And so at that time, we will read the final tally on cats versus dogs, which is better. A volunteer called for, and she's a volunteer for, a person called who is a volunteer for Felines and Friends. And thanks, KSFR, for supporting animals.
Wonderful. Hopefully she voted for kitties as well. I'd also like to take this opportunity again to thank KSFR for the support throughout the years to our organization. And for anybody tuning into this broadcast late and didn't hear my announcement at the beginning about the new cat spay program here in Santa Fe, I'd like to encourage everybody to get their dogs or their cats spayed or neutered. The Santa Fe Shelter's low-cost clinic is over on Camino Entrada. The prices are very, very affordable, and there is no reason why we should be littering Santa Fe with all these animals that end up at the shelter, which then has to try to find homes, and there's more animals than homes. So please, if you've got a dog that needs to be fixed, call the shelter clinic. And if you need help with a cat spay, we have Cat Spay of Santa Fe, and that's funding through the Zimmer Foundation. That's zimmer-foundation.org. And all the information is online, and you can get as many cats as you need spayed or neutered.
And Michael Leskander, if that's how you pronounce it, called, and I don't know whether he voted for cats or dogs, but he loves Seriously Funny. And our listeners listen to so many different programs on this terrific radio station. I can't even keep up with all the wonderful things that are on this station. But if you like this station, this is the one-day fun drive, ladies and gentlemen. Give us a call, 428-1393. Make a pledge to KSFR. And we are giving you the opportunity to make a pledge in memory of or in honor of your favorite cat or dog. And I would say probably dog, you know, but either way would work.
Dog Mary shows. Charlotte, may I make an offer here?
Yes.
This poetry book, Doggerel and Catterwall's Poems Inspired by Cats and Dogs, is a beautifully hand-bound book with nice ribbon, and it's an attractive book. It normally sells for $15. I want to make an offer. I don't have extra copies with me today, but if listeners would like to purchase a book from me, I will donate $5 for every book that listeners purchase. I will donate $5 to KSFR, and they may purchase the books by emailing frogman6849@yahoo.com.
frogman6849@yahoo.com.
That's a cat address.
So we don't have to, if you want to do that, write directly to, what is it, Frogman?
6849.
6849@yahoo.com. And if you call anyway, but don't go through KSFR's pledge line for that, because they will become confused because they don't know about this. So,
because they're cat.
That's right. 428-1. 428-1393 is the number. Keep the telephones ringing until 10 o'clock. And Marilyn LeBlanc, you are, in fact, a cat person.
Meow.
That's true. My engineer, whom I get along with very well, is a cat person. And that just shows that dog people really are able to get along with everybody.
Actually, I love both, but for the last 15 years, I've had only cats. My dog Midnight rode shotgun with me when I moved to New Mexico, and he was a real help in introducing me here. But you know what anchors me here are the cats, truly the cats.
Well, so. I've heard they make great anchors.
Out came the claws from this person. Let me tell you.
One of the listeners asked, what do cats and dogs literally do for KSFR?
Well, I produce the Santa Fe Radio Cafe on my own. I don't have any production assistants or staff or interns or anything like that. But my dogs do help me do research. They answer calls, they take messages, and they make me a cup of tea in the late afternoon.
This is Mary Charlotte's rather deranged way of saying that when she's trying to work, the dogs actually stand on everything she's looking at and try to eat it.
Yeah, and she's also grown in a Pinocchio nose as I sit here.
She's actually had to move back from the microphone to accommodate that.
428-1393. No, but one of my dogs, Honey, who turned 11 this past March, last month, she turned 11. She's a good dog, an energetic dog, and she runs fast. And she used to have this little hole which she dug under the fence. And
something a cat would never do and get its nails dirty.
The cat would just go over the fence. Yeah, you can't keep cats inside the yard. But this dog, who is very smart, always found a new little place under the fence. And she would go out. And garbage morning in my neighborhood is Monday, and I was up very early one Monday morning, and the dog, Honey, came in the dog door with a slab of barbecued pork. And I said, Honey, where did you get that? And she looks at me saying, does it matter? I just got it. I mean, I want to eat it. And I said, Honey, and that was when she was really having a weight problem for reasons that you can imagine. I'm sorry, you can't have this. And I went out and threw it in the garbage can right before the garbage people came. And she looked at me with these very sad eyes saying, don't you understand that I'm a hunter and I go out and I get my barbecued pork, you know, through my own efforts? And I said, no, I'm very sorry, honey. I'll give you your dog food in a little while. And so she goes out the dog door and she comes back 5 minutes later with another piece of barbecued pork.
Smart.
I let her have it.
Yeah. You know, I want to point out that Honey is the same dog who also came in the doggy door with a full used disposable diaper. She was not a very discriminating hunter or gatherer.
She came in with an entire uneaten McDonald's Happy Meal.
Yeah, but see, they're not. That's not hunting.
She robbed a child.
That is, yeah, exactly.
Possibly.
She's a mugger. She's a lunch jacker.
So what you've got here is you've got a gatherer, yes, that went out and retrieved, whereas a cat goes out and gets something fresh.
Kills.
Well, dogs do that, too. 428-1393. The phones are a little slow right now. Ladies and gentlemen, cast that vote immediately. Get the phones ringing. Make your donation to KSFR. 428-1393.
Factoid. Dogs' nose prints have the same uniqueness as humans' fingerprints. And I, in fact, can tell, when I had two dogs, which dog had their nose on the windshield by reading the nose prints.
Whereas cats' nose prints are all identical.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's something I learned at IA just yesterday, in fact, that there's a Navajo legend that the whorls that we have in our fingerprints and by extension, I guess, on dogs' noses are evidence of the Great Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it also is symbolic of the wind, so like the whirling wind.
Dogs and humans, Great Spirit. Thank you, Wayne.
Oh, walked right into that one. Well, I do have a good story for you as far as the heisting of food, but my cat that did this, Gizmo, who's departed now, at least it was fresh and not dumpster diving. My husband had cooked some fresh barbecue chicken, and we were sitting watching television using bed trays. I don't remember, I don't know if it was raining or what, but
that's the typical cat person lifestyle.
So, very nice. So we had this beautifully fresh cooked barbecue chicken, and the cat came up on the bed and was eyeing both of us. And then all of a sudden, when we were not paying attention, the entire breast of chicken disappeared off my plate. And she ran through the house and out the cat flap. And the chicken was never to be seen again. And that was when my husband started cooking three pieces of chicken.
That proves that
cats own their owners.
No question about it.
Oh, yes, we are absolutely owned by our cats, and that's why he started cooking a third piece. The cats got to share the chicken, and we didn't have to worry about the great chicken heist ever happening again. Now, if we had caught this on video, of course, we would have been very wealthy at this point.
Actually, my dog, Honey, did exactly the same thing when I first had her. I had two people over, and I had three plates, each with a chicken breast on them, and I turned my head ever so slightly toward the kitchen, and I looked back at the plates, and one of the plates was empty. Uh-huh. And Honey was running out the front door, and I couldn't catch her.
So in other words, our pets, whether they be cats or dogs, have been known to be thieves.
428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. The phones have been a little slower during this hour. I'm not sure why. Maybe dog and cat owners are at work, but if you are listening to this program and you care about animals, give a call right now. Make a pledge to KSFR during our one-day pledge drive, 428-1393.
Maybe we need another plug for cats. You've been reading some wonderful factoids, and this is in Harper's Magazine, every issue they have Harper's Index. Mm-hmm. So I took that form and applied it to cats, and so this is Harper's Index of Cats. Number of cats living with human beings at any given time, 200 million. Number of cats we own, 3. Number of cats we only think we own, 3. Number of additional cats my wife would like to adopt, 300. Number of mummified cats excavated at Beni Hussan in Egypt, 300,000. Brain size in ounces of a typical 8.5-pound domestic cat, 1. Number of cats it takes to screw in a light bulb, 0. Percentage of attempts.
They've got the dogs to do it.
Percentage of attempts to take a cat to the vet that were unsuccessful, 25. Average number of scratches suffered while taking a cat to the vet, 12. Number of times I have successfully bathed a cat, 1. Number of times the cat survived, 0. Average price of a retail cat toy, $4.95. Average number of minutes before a cat toy is lost or destroyed, 7. Number of rubber bands found under our floor lamp while vacuuming, 41. Drops of blood from a cat's tail required to cure epilepsy, 3. Percentage of interactions among colony cats that involve licking, 64. Number of mice caught by Towser, a female tortoise shell owned by Glen Turret Distillery Limited of Creef, Scotland, 28,899.
Fabulous.
Species of live rodents and reptiles our cats release inside the house during a typical summer, 9. Number of minutes before the alarm clock goes off that one of our cats will wake me up by walking on my head, 10. Cats I would die for, 0. Speaks to the love-hate relationship, I think, with cats. I don't know about others, but with dogs, it's mostly a love relationship. But cats, I find, are more complex, and therefore they're more like people in that relationship, and that there's more of a love-hate relationship because they're more independent.
Wayne Lee is a poet who will be doing a reading. We'll give the information one more time before we go. A couple of readings. That was great. That was really, really good. I love taking the Harper's Index and making it into kind of a poem.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, a poet, you use whatever you've got.
Which is what you could say for dogs. Yeah. They use whatever they've got.
So, and they use it so well.
Yeah. Love.
Love.
I think really when it boils down to it, the question is, who is the most loving? Dogs or cats?
Not better. There, we could have won by a landslide.
I think loving, I might have even voted for that, right, if that was what
well,
we were doing.
No, we posed the wrong question, Mary
Sabrina
Charlotte.
Is in bed and purring and puts her paws around us. And reaches out. If she's in my husband's arms, she will reach across with one paw and want to be touching me as well. And
she's looking for your checkbook.
No, that's not the same cat.
It's not the same cat.
And my Leo, he sleeps on his side of the bed with me every night. And this morning he said, "Why are you getting up so early? Come back to bed."
Absolutely. Same with mine. She couldn't figure it.
And then I told him why I had to get up. And he said, "Well, you know, tell those people that they need to call KSFR. And the phones aren't ringing right now. So maybe we can get some phones ringing before we end this."
4281393. We have 8.5 minutes left until the end of Cats versus Dogs, which is better and more loving.
And the last I heard, dogs were still just ever so slightly ahead. So cat people, come on. Let's vote for our side. I think the eBay auction is coming to a close.
Yeah, come on, cat people.
Dogs.
Cats.
Dogs. We need for all of those people out there with those fabulous dogs, and we need to remember that, in fact, Jack Russell Terriers are fabulous mousers and are perfectly brilliant at catching mice, keeping down the mice population.
Well, you know, if you want them to be good at that, you actually have to feed them a little less, because I do have a mouse that has, or a couple of mice that have come and gone in my house over the years. And I don't like to set mouse traps for sort of semi-Buddhist reasons, and because it's kind of gross. But I have caught them through have a heart traps. But one day, late at night, the mouse walked across the kitchen floor, and I was lying on the couch with Milk and my terrier, my Jack Russell Terrier, and I heard the mouse, and he didn't. And I said, "Milk, there's a mouse." He's like, What?
See, and the cat would be on it. Yeah. Now, we did have a mouse problem, and now we've had to plug up the holes in the pool tiles, but we could hear them scurrying in the ceiling. And, you know, the big fear is they get in and they chew your wiring, and then all of a sudden you lose your sound system or you lose your alarm system. So I have been using, they're called tin cats, and they are boxes that are humane traps. And over the course of 1 week, we trapped 15, I believe. We have three of these things. And I relocated them. You have to be more than 2 miles away.
Yeah.
So I relocated them in groups because there was two and three in each trap that were going in. And so I relocated them out into an arroyo, away from other people, figuring that returning them to the food chain was the best thing.
Yeah.
And that way they're not in my ceiling chewing on my wires, but they were, you know, serving out their intended purpose. So
I took mine to Tasuki.
You're going to have anyone who lives in Tasuki, if you donate money to the station right now, we'll come and get the mice.
428-1393.
You know, I think... Oh.
Yeah, just the number. So give a call. You've got 7 minutes left. 6.5 minutes. 428-1393.
Go, cat people.
I think our cats are Buddhist because, like I said in that poem, they don't kill these rodents and reptiles. They just play with them. They bring them indoors, release them, and play with them until they're bored, and then they just let the rodents or whatever run away.
I think that's called torture.
Yeah.
They don't hurt them, though.
Well, so, that's what you think. If you were at the paws of a cat, how would you
Well, you know, the mice dropped dead of a heart attack. But we've had to set the tin cats inside a couple of times where that has happened, and then get put it at the edge of furniture, and the mouse runs out, and then I can relocate because once they get away from the cat's bored. You know,
right.
they can't get at it. So, and you don't really want a mouse running around your house.
No.
428-1393, KSFR, one day pledge drive. We're just going to be here for a few more minutes. So Wayne Lee, tell us once more. Wayne Lee is a poet. He's an adjunct professor at the Institute of American Indian Arts. And you're doing two readings.
Yeah, I'm doing a reading Tuesday evening, May 4th at 7 p.m. at IAIA in the common room, second floor of the continuing life education.
Center for Lifelong Education.
Yeah. Okay. And the other reading is this Sunday, along with a lot of other poets, as part of the reading at Collected Works, all Sunday afternoon for the New Mexico Poetry Review.
This coming Sunday?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Collected Works, wonderful bookstore, one of our two independent, well, more than two independent bookstores here in Santa Fe. So.
And Dorothy does carry Doggerel and Catterwauls.
Oh, good. Well, so. That's a wonderful book with these ribbons in it. 428.
Which were neatly tied by cats, by the way.
And beautifully printed by dogs.
More like beautifully attempted to be eaten on and slobbered by dogs and saved by cats who ran off with them and hid them.
428-1393 is all I have to say to that. I don't know. I was, the other day, I woke up, and I do, from time to time, sleep with my little doggies, and I woke up in the morning, and my dog, Honey, put her paw right in the center of the back of my neck. I swear to God, it was some kind of acupuncture point or pressure point. And it was like getting this little mini beautiful massage. And I said, Honey, that is a very, very kind thing for you to do.
She was pushing you out of bed to feed her.
Okay, I have to admit, one of my cats does that as well. I have this rather large tuxedo cat who's very muscular, and she's very hard to move. If she puts herself somewhere she wants to be, she's hard. She's like a furry bowling ball with feet. But she has taken lately to, in the morning, if I don't get up and feed her, fill her bowl, stepping on my head, walking on my hair, and lately she started doing that kneading thing right on my trachea.
Oh,
so
that's lovely.
You have 30 seconds before I cut off your airways.
More or less.
There was a wonderful email that was going around on the subject of how many dogs it takes to screw in a light bulb. And I believe the poodle said, I can't do it right now. I'm painting my fingernails. And the border collie said, after I change the light bulb, would you like me to get the wiring up to code? And the dachshund said, I can't reach the light bulb.
And the beagle said, it's fine. I can see in the dark. I know where the food is.
And the cat said, that's for humans.
The cat said, I can see in the dark.
That's right.
So we have just 2 minutes left. 428-1393 is the number. You're listening to the KSFR one-day fund drive. Pledge now. You can also pledge online at ksfr.org. And if you're calling from out of area, the number is 866-907-5737. Now, you know, I don't really want to do this in cats versus dogs, which is better, but maybe they're both okay.
Yeah, absolutely. We do a lot of placements with dogs and cats, and it's a matter of matchmaking. You know, not all cats are going to be good with dogs and vice versa. And so, you know, when you're selecting a pet in general, you have to take into account your lifestyle, what your home has to offer, and do the best match. Because quite often people go in and they think they need a puppy, but if they're not around to raise the puppy, they've got themselves a problem. Puppies generally should be with an older dog, not necessarily old, but an older dog that can teach them.
Right.
Because they do learn. They're very, very social. And, you know, dogs alone, I always say that a barking dog is a lonely dog. And when I hear the neighbor's dogs barking, it's generally, I found out that they're a single dog. They're much more in need of that companionship. A cat,
which shows how good they are because they're social animals.
Yeah, yeah.
Very social.
I have to say, in support of what Bobby's been saying, cats are good for me because I'm frankly lazy, and they're just easier.
Cats are easier.
Well, I work full time with my husband, and so, you know, for us, it'd be we do love dogs, and we happen to like big dogs. And the issue is that you know, when you work all day, you can't leave them alone.
We've got 1 minute left. Very quickly, Bobby from Felines and Friends, tell us about the events coming up and how to reach Felines and Friends.
The easiest way to reach Felines and Friends, 316-2281.
That's in the area code 505.
And it's 316-CAT-1. Also, ask felinesandfriends at yahoo.com. The first event that's coming up is on Sunday, 1 to 3, at Ponce de Leon Seniors for Seniors. The public is welcome. Come meet some of our older cats and potentially give them a home. And then we do have Cocktails for Critters, our second annual fundraiser, coming up June 6th. That's all on our website, felinesandfriends.org. And then you click on the link to the New Mexico chapter.
And it's time to go, ladies and gentlemen.